السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program known as Streaming Reels every Saturday morning between 8 and 9. And we welcome all of our listeners to another edition of this program. And this morning, inshallah, we'll be joined on the line by Brother Adil Mangli. Also, not to forget the sponsor for the program, Solly's English Corner. We'll be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia a bit later on, inshallah, in the program as well. And much, much more coming your way this morning on the Screaming Reels program. Inshallah, for our listeners this morning, we have a wonderful lineup. We're going to be joined on the line by Brother Adil Mangli this morning. And also, not to forget the sponsor of the program, Solid Angus Corner. We'll be speaking to Brother Luqman Mia. We also said to our listeners out there that if you have any questions that you would like to ask, perhaps to Brother Luqman or one of the professionals that might be coming on the program, or 082-368-6866 is the WhatsApp number or the SMS number. Let us welcome Adil with us on the line. Brother Salim indicating that we're just trying to get a hold of him on the cell phone very quickly. And as soon as we have that info, the go-ahead or the thumbs-up, brother, from this Muhammad Salim, we'll be joined with Adil, inshallah. I think he's having some sort of a problem with the landline. So we're going to try on the cell phone this morning. Normally it's the opposite way around. It's always the opposite way around. The guys are complaining about the cell phones and saying, rather get me on my landline. Here, it's the other way around. Okay, we have the thumbs up. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonderful listeners.
Adil, normally it's the opposite way around. The guys are complaining about the cell phones and they'll tell you call on the landline.
So, lightning storm here in Azad al Sharif. And I think it knocked out my modem and my phone and everything else.
Does lightning actually damage stuff in Azad al Sharif?
I think it hits the naughty people.
Is it the naughty people?
Yeah.
Even though last week you were gone away very far from Azad al Sharif.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. We'll be talking a little bit about that a little later on, inshallah, in the program. But last week we were in Perkhita Saraf, known now as Mokopane. And there's a beautiful dam there called Dwaran Rai Dam, which is in a nature reserve about 30 kilometers from Perkhita Saraf itself. And we did a bit of fishing there. We were seven of us, and we wanted to do some, a variety of different types of fishing. But of course, fishing is fishing, so it always has something up its sleeve. And that species we were targeting, unfortunately, we didn't catch. And species that we didn't really realize that were there, we did very well with. So, that was actually a very, very, very good trip, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. So, Adil, you say overall, although I know you're going to go into the nitty-gritties, but overall it was an excellent and a wonderful trip for you guys, Adil?
You know, they always say a bad day's fishing is better than a good day's work.
Oh, yes.
And I think that rings true of our weekend we had last week, where we were planning the trip for a while. One of my good friends, Hamza Qasim, who's a podiatrist in Mayfair, so we always have a doctor on hand to check our feet. But he was planning the trip, and then he roped us all in, and at least seven of the guys got ready. And it was a very good experience, in a sense that I learned a lot on the weekend. There was good experiences in terms of the place that we went to, because first time I had been on that side of the world. And although the journey was about maybe about 3.5 hours, it was well worth it, because that particular area in the Limpopo province is very rich in vegetation. You know, everything is very, very green. And, when you see the stalls on the side, there's a lot of fruit and vegetables coming from that area.
Yes.
Very, very good, healthy, vegetation. So it was a good experience to go out, and see the countryside and enjoy and take in. And obviously, it's that fr- fresh air and that atmosphere that you look for, you know, when you want to go out for the weekend. And that's what we got.
All right, Adam, we're going to get back to you a bit later on that trip. You can perhaps share with our listeners with regard to the fishing itself. For now, we have Brother Luqman Mia with us on the line. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Manana?
Alhamdulillah, how are you keeping, Luqman?
Allah shukr. Assalamu alaikum to Adil and to all the listeners as well.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. That when we were talking about going to Dwar and Dry, I did ask you for some tips. And Alhamdulillah, all those tips came in handy. The only thing that eluded us was, of course, the very, very big carp, which the dam is known for. Either we weren't putting the right bait or they just weren't around. But there were obviously fishermen on the dam who did catch some fairly good-sized fish. I suppose it just depends on where you were. What I did notice about the area, though, and maybe you can fill us in, they said that the Arabi Dam is not far from there. And the Dwar and Dry Dam itself also, we found that the water level was, it was all right. It wasn't as high as it should be because you can see where the water mark is and where the water normally is. But the thing that was shocking was what the people were talking about in terms of Arabi Dam. They say Arabi Dam is really, really low. I don't know if you guys had any information on Arabi Dam.
Well, gee, it had dropped to quite a low level. I think it was under 20%.
Sure.
But only recently, you know, I've been checking the dam levels and alhamdulillah, it's come up quite a bit. I think it's sitting on around 30-35% now. So it has come up quite a bit compared to what it was.
Yeah, and obviously the fish on everybody's lips. You know, for last weekend, skirpa, kirpa, and kirpa. In Alamna, we did very well with kirpa. Unfortunately, they weren't biting on the conventional kirpa baits. They were taking on the carp floaties, etc. Is that something common or is it something unusual?
No, it does happen. You know, we have had a lot of people that even catch them on normal bread, you know, brown bread or, like you say, floaties. So it's not... it's not strange, it's not anything out of the ordinary, it does happen from time to time. But did you catch any decent sizes?
We basically caught a lot of the three-spotted kirpa and the banded tilapia. There were a few of the red-breasted as well. The Mozambicans, the blues, really eluded us. We didn't get any of the blues. But like I say, it was you'd be fishing with a millibomb. You know, targeting the carp and the kirpa were coming out like that, and they were quite deep in. In the shallows, there was a lot of this canary kirpas, etc., which if I had my lighties with, they would have really enjoyed fishing and, you know, catching those. But the sizes were not really as big as, you know, the sizes of the guys that I was checking on Facebook. Some of the guys like Adil, who Adil Kaji and them who normally come regular in the program, I saw they were at Loscop Dam and they were really doing well with blues. So, you know, more or less, I think kirpa is coming out. But it just depends, obviously, you know, where you're fishing and what sizes you're getting. In terms of your experience or in terms of your customers, etc., what sort of reports are you guys getting on kirpa?
It seems to be the same everywhere, like you're saying. You know, most of the dams, the guys are getting, you know, the 20 to 25 centimeter size kirpas. Or people know them as three spotters, but actually three spotter is a different species of bream. It's a different bream species altogether, you know. You've got locally we got about five different species, but you got a canary, you said a banded or what we call a flakerper, you got the Mozambican and you got the three spotter and the red breasted. So the three spotter, although people generally refer to it as a size, it's actually a different species of bream. And but when you look at size, general size-wise, that people are catching all over the show, is between that 15 to about 20-25 centimeters. And like you said, the only place that guys are really getting the big, what we know as blues, are at Loscop Dam.
Look, man, another question, I know with regard to fishing, not specifically to bream itself, but somebody actually asked this question now. We always speak about weather when it comes to your fishing in terms of rain and cold fronts. Is there anything as moon phase when it comes to your dam or river fishing?
It does. Moon phases generally and amongst all of your experienced and older generation, fishermen always watch weather patterns, always watch moon phases. And from the little knowledge that we have and the experience we have, we find that on a what we call a new moon phase. So basically, I always put it for us Muslims a lot easier the beginning of an Islamic month,
mm-hmm.
or the full moon phase. Always, generally, you find that fishing does increase and get better around those times of the month, on a new moon phase or a full moon phase.
Now, is that across the board, most of your species, what are you going to say, or is it now targeting specific species or rivers or lakes? Or?
No, it's all across the board, whether it's fresh water, salt water, whether it's dams, whether it's rivers. Not to say in between those phases you're not going to catch.
Sure.
You may still have good days in between the phases. And that's why they say the more you go fishing, the better your chances are.
Look, just staying on that point there, Anilio, when we're saying proven, now of course, yes, experience-wise, perhaps many people went out and seen the difference, but proven scientifically or any other way, any reason behind the moon phases?
Not trying to, you know, it's Allah's system, you know, Allah has created it that way, that on those phases, if you notice, it all relates to even the tidal movements on the oceans. If you look at the full moon, you have what we call a spring tide. And a spring tide is when the tide is at its highest. And fishing is always, especially in estuary or river mouth systems, or even the surf itself, you'll find a lot of people do well on spring tides. And same thing happens when it's a new moon. At a new moon, you always get a slightly higher tide. So it's not just scientific or what it is, a system of Allah. Allah has created it that way, that all, not just fish, it is even guys that have taken notice in it, you'll find all living creatures seem to be more active, they feed more actively around those two moon phases. So it is a system of Allah, and we just have to take benefit at those times of the year. Those time of the month.
You know, in keeping with the sort of scientific topic, last week when we were at the dam, this friend of mine, Firoz, who was with us, Firoz Dokrat, he had us watch with him, Luki, and it was recording the air pressure. And I noticed he kept on looking at the watch every time, and I asked him, now, why do you keep looking at the watch? So he says, no, I'm checking the pressure system. And I noticed he always used to say, right, guys, now you're going to catch. And then a fish would come on. And then I'd ask him why. He says, no, because of the level of the pressure. Can you give us a little bit of a very quick, brief explanation of how the pressure also affects the fishing?
It's like weather, you know, weather that's pushing in, whether it's a cold front or moving off a cold front. So dramatic change in air pressure, what we call low or high pressure. If it's a low pressure system, that means a cold front or cold air is pushing through, and that generally pushes fish off. But the moment that air pressure is climbing and starting to it's increasing, that's when fish come onto the bite. So he was right in doing what he could tell you, and like you say, a lot of the instruments today, watches, and you get barometers which fishermen use, your competitive fishermen, I mean, use it all the time, and they watch it, and the moment they see there's a low pressure system moving, they wouldn't even take their rods out, you know, they don't even fish, whereas the moment they see that it's a good condition coming or pressure is starting to climb, that's when the fish do bite. Now you'll see on those two moon phases, generally that's when that pressure is also, when that pressure coincides, that means you got a high pressure system coinciding with those moon phases, that's when you're going to have your best fishing ever. But you got to keep watching. That's why sometimes you can just catch a fish with a stick and a piece of line, but if you want to do it professionally, you want to consistently catch good fish, then you've got to use the tools and the means that Allah has provided for us. I mean, it's there for us. He gave it to us to use. We need to make use of it.
Oh yes, definitely, 100%. It's important. I mean, you and always, Adil, when you're out in the water, Rukman, you hear perhaps people saying something different from what you have learned or from what you have heard. And certain things you think to yourself, but I mean, how is this possible? And like you say, subhanAllah, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it works, and how there is so much more to learn. And at the end of the whole thing, again, it's for us just to acknowledge the oneness of our Creator and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the whole system work. Look, Luqman, in terms of, again, speaking about weather and moon phases and the changes, prior to cold fronts generally, I don't know if this was perhaps said on our show, or again was this perhaps said at a fishing trip, but somebody said that prior to a cold front, your fish tend to bite much better as well. Is that true also?
Gee, it is. And again, you know, Allah has given the fish an extra sense where they can before. They don't need to look at barometers or whatever. They've got built-in barometers into their brain system where the moment they can detect, they can quickly detect faster than what we can see, they can detect change in pressure. And the moment that happens, they do go into a bit of a feeding frenzy, maybe just to eat before the front comes in, where they wouldn't be feeding for 2 or 3 days. So they generally do fish. But even before a storm, if you're fishing and you see a rainstorm approaching or rain approaching, you'll find that generally the fish, something triggers them that they bite, they bite crazy, and you can really have a good hour or so of fishing just before, like you say, a cold front or just before a rainstorm pushing in.
In terms of the shop itself, do you people have a range of these sort of products that can help fishermen to ascertain sort of what the pressure is, like these barometers and things that you're talking about?
Yeah, we generally carry, it's just the most important instrument for it would be a barometer, and we do carry it in stock. Then, as far as your boat fishermen, your fish finders nowadays, the amount of information and the clarity that fish finders show what the bottom looks like, what the temperature is, it's amazing. It's mind-boggling, actually, what fish finders can do today. That they have got, the necessary information that you need built into the unit. So a barometer is always good to have. We do keep it. We sell the fish finders. So, gee, alhamdulillah, the shops do cater for what the fisherman is looking for.
Is there something that bank anglers can use to, like a fish finder? Is there something like that?
Gee, there is. Obviously, a barometer is something handheld where you can carry it wherever you want. But there is a fish finder recently just launched, which we do stock in our stores. You can fish it off the bank. What it is if people are fishermen or listeners are familiar with how a fisherman actually works, is you've got your transducer or transponder, which you generally mount at the bottom of your boat hull, and it's got a cable running to your finder itself. So that picks up, the sonar picks up the, through pulses, it picks up what the bottoms look like and transmits it to your screen, your fish finder screen. Now what they've done is they've taken that transducer and what technology, it's wireless. So on a separate rod, you would cast the transducer in, and you connect, it's linked up through Wi-Fi and internet to your smartphone. So you're basically looking at what's the bottom, the depth of where your transducer is or your transponder is that you've casted in with a separate rod. You're now looking at it on your tablet, on your laptop, or on your smartphone. You can see what the bottom of the dam or river looks like.
Have you guys managed to try any in the field?
Sure. We haven't fished it ourselves, but the clients that have bought are very happy with it, because it's giving them information that they never had before.
I can just imagine.
But earlier on, Adil spoke about, and the question actually came from listeners, Adil spoke earlier on about the bait that they caught kerpa with. The listener also knows, is it only earthworms that people use for kerpa fishing?
No, like we mentioned, floaties generally work. You'll have to try and figure out, each dam different flavors work. So your only way out of that is to try a couple of flavors to see which one. But generally, the plain white or plain yellow would be the first thing to start with. And then you also use like a brown bread, general brown bread, just rolled into a neat or size like a floaty would be. And I remember, you know, as a young boy, when our grandfather took us fishing, he used to make a special dough for kerpa with flour and mealmeal. So just a normal dough, which he would, you know, the night before, we would all be out helping him in a kitchen and getting our bait ready, and that dough worked. We used to catch lots of kerpa on that dough.
Before it was done in the kitchen, now let him go try it in the kitchen. Adil, where are you making your bait? In the kitchen?
No, I can't. I have to go outside to do all of that. Right?
Now you get hiding, look, when you make in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we make all aunties fisherwomen, then I don't think it would be a problem.
I'm sure if you go down to Solid Angler's Corner, obviously you can get all of that bait.
Yeah, yeah, why make it?
We do sell ready-made dough, white dough as well, so you can come and buy it. Or we'll explain it to you how to make it, so even when the wife's gone out shopping, you can quickly sneak into the kitchen and make your bait.
He doesn't take the roti atto then. Problem.
Well, in actual fact, also one of our Muslim brothers that came in said that's what he used. And he catches carp on it, so anything goes.
Yeah. Depends on the mood also of the fish.
Yeah, it's ultimately. And I mean, yesterday I had a lady that came in and she said they were just playing around and put jelly tots on a hook and caught carp. So even your children's sweets.
even the fish are becoming modern nowadays.
See, so she said, and she was quite excited about it, that they caught them on jelly tot cup. So anything, just on the day.
Jelly tot, I know, I've even tried it myself. It's actually quite effective bait to use for cup. So maybe you guys can, in a sweet section, you can sell the jelly tots, and then if they want to buy it as a bait, they can buy it as a bait as well.
Or if somebody wants a business opportunity, just take jelly tots in a little bait bottle and start selling it. You'll be all right.
Lukman, before you go off, inshallah, I just want to say on behalf of our Sesine Survival Camp, Jazakallah for your sponsorship. Solid Angler's Corner has always come to the fore when it comes to these camps that we do with the youth. And we appreciate the fishing tackle sponsorship from Solid Angler's Corner. Inshallah, let's hope. You know, the kids that are going out for the weekend camps are going to benefit, obviously, from the tackle that you guys given, but also, obviously, from the good intention of taking it out for the benefit of, you know, helping our kids experience something that many South African kids don't really experience.
No, it's always a pleasure, you know, when it's helping a cause, a needy cause. It's our responsibility. It's not something we're doing just for name and fame. It's our responsibility to help the less fortunate ones and those that, like you say, don't have the opportunity to go fishing. We need to give them the chance, especially just to go out and experience what we keep talking about.
Definitely.
100%. Luqman, Jazakumullah so much. Once again, Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you guys, inshallah, and we'll catch up with you next weekend.
Ameen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
I never asked him if he's going anywhere, Luqman. Adil, about that question there.
Yeah, he doesn't share that kind of information.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he shared the bait information with us. because some secrets, you know, families, they stick to those. But I'm sure, I think for the last 3 years we've been saying when we're all going to be fishing together, when we're all going to be fishing together. Let's hope, inshallah, in 2017, we actually do put together a fishing trip where we can be, you know, with the likes of Luqman, Mia, so you'll be on hand to show us a thing or two.
100%. You know, the professionals, like you call it.
Yeah.
All right, we time just seem to be running again, like usual. That we have the name of the brother was?
Adil Saleji.
Adil Saleji, what's us on the line? Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Adil, this is like Adil Squid. Adil, how are you keeping, Adil Saleji?
Alhamdulillah, with the du'as of the Oman for UK, we're carrying on. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And you seem excited. Is it from last week's fishing trip that the excitement has still been on there?
Yeah, it's actually, you know, they say you get a bug. And I think I got the bug already because I'm packing up to leave to go to Willow Express to do some more fishing. So, alhamdulillah, it's
been
a, I wonder why I didn't get an invitation to go to Willow Express, eh?
You don't need an invitation, sir. It's always open, you know that. You know the gate, you know the people. You're like a resident there, so...
Adil, tell us about your fishing, about your guys' arrangements. Adil saying, really, the trip was planned well in advance, and you guys really went out of your way in terms of prep and things like that. So tell us about the road journey very briefly. Tell us about the accommodation, especially because we know many people out there that are listening are perhaps planning a trip to the dam now. And they would, of course, want to know accommodation, where you guys stayed, the road, time-wise, things like that.
Okay. We left... we were planning to leave at 5:30, because obviously I worked, I finished work at 5:00. And then we were all excited and stuff, like weeks before that, oh, awesome, we're leaving at 5:00. And we made our arrangements to meet at different points for pickups and that. And then at about 1:30 after Jummah, actually on Friday, the first team that already got there called us to say that the park closes at 6:00 on Friday. Every day they close at 6:00, and the latest would be 8:00. So
no point rushing down.
Yeah, unfortunately, we never got to leave on Friday afternoon. You know, we were all excited, and everything was packed the night before. And then when you got that message, it was all, you know, it was all disappointing and stuff. But then, end of the day, everything happens for a reason. So, the next morning, we said, okay, we leave at 2:30. And, you know, we Indians, we always say 2:30, we leave 2 hours later. So, we ended up leaving at about 4:00. And, alhamdulillah, we got there, we took a nice, cool drive. We got there at about 9:00. And as soon as we got there, Brother Hamza, one of our guys that were fishing with us, he was on with the fish. He said from the day before, that was the first fish he caught. So I think we went with the senior guys and they brought all the barkat and came, you know. So he caught his fish, and then as soon as we got there, we never unpacked the car. We took our rods out and we said, okay, let's go wet our lines. So... as soon as we got there, Firoz Dokrat, he went and he chucked the line in and he's like, hey, there's fish here. And we changed our, the guys changed their traces and stuff, and we're catching this small karpar. Is it karpar, Adil?
Canary karpar.
Canaries. We're catching those. Those fish were keeping us going. And, Nabil, what's Nabil's surname?
Nabil Veli. Yeah.
Nabil Veli from Lens. From Lens, yeah. He came with his own Willy's concoction, and I don't know, he was just catching fish. And we were all looking at him like, hey, give us some of your bait, tell us what you use. He's saying, no, this is my secret recipe. So, alhamdulillah, we caught about 5 or 6 nice size.
Lovely. Tell us your accommodation. Where you guys stayed there?
We pitched up tents. The guys that went the night before, they pitched up, 2 five-man tents. And, what you call it? Because, with the weather, it was hell of a wet. On Friday night, it really came down the rain. And then our brother Husnu, he left the window open in the tent. So the waterproofing on the tent never really helped much. But, you know, when you're out there, you make a plan of whatever you have, and, you know, you make a plan. And we said it was raining, so we couldn't really do much night fishing. So we went to bed and we said, okay, we'll sleep early, we'll wake up early, and we'll start fishing. When we woke up in the morning, it was extremely hot, like really, really hot. We were perspiring inside the tent. And then at about 10 o'clock, we just saw cloud cover and it started pouring again. So we're packing up our tent and everything in the rain.
That was a Sunday you're talking about?
It was Sunday, yeah.
We actually left earlier on a Sunday because we were to attend a walima in Pretoria. And, you know, one of the things I just wanted to mention also in terms of the accommodation, yes, it is camping. Obviously, people that go camping know they've got to go prepared for camping. But what I did find, and Ariel will attest to that, is the ablution facilities are very, very good in the place. It's actually brand new ablutions which they put up.
Which makes a big difference, Ariel, you know, at least...
Yeah.
At least, you know, the bathroom toilet is kind of sorted out. Tell me, Adil, you're speaking about, okay, of course it was camping from your guys' side, but is there facilities with for chalets and things like that, Adil?
You know what, I don't know, Adil, did you find out if there is? I didn't check with the locals there. Last week we met up with Dr. Yusuf Kachalia. Remember I told you about his pigeons and the loft,
yes,
and etc. One day, inshallah, we'll get him on so he can tell us a little bit more about it. We didn't really actually get information about chalets, etc. there, but I know, you know, there is a lot of camping. There's quite a few camping grounds on the premises.
It's quite a bit?
I said there's quite a few camping spots on the premises where you go. We saw a lot of guys with caravans and things like that also pitching up there.
Okay, excellent. So it's mostly your camping and things like that. And the fishing overall, Adil Saraji, was excellent or was good in terms of species of fish, but not really sizes.
Not really sizes, just species. There we caught a few different fish, but not the big sizes as such. But the other guys that we've seen in keep net, everybody along the campsites all had keep nets. So I'm sure they were catching fish, and we couldn't really get the distance that they were getting. They had jet skis and boats and, you know, all those different things to take your line in deep. We were basically walking into water that was about waist height and casting from there. So, you know, we couldn't really get the distance, the deeper distance that they were getting. According to the locals, you got to throw like towards the center of the dam. That's where it's really, really deep. And that's where you're going to get your big carp and your barbel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if people are going, they've got to take their boats or, you know, their
canoes.
Yeah, canoes to take your line in.
Mm-hmm.
And worms is very important there because they were not... The bigger fish were biting on plain floaties and the middies, but the smaller fish were only biting on worms.
Okay, excellent. Adil Saraji, Jazakumullah for your time. We'll catch up with you sometime again in the future, inshallah, and chat to you. Maybe next weekend you can tell us about this weekend's trip, and hopefully you'll have a much better trip, or I would say rather bigger fish this time around in
Willow Express.
Willow Express.
Willow Express, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We'll catch up with you next weekend, inshallah, as well.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all our wonderful listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.